You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Boy, a lot has happened in the last 24, 25 hours because it was prior to yesterday's show, we were watching women's gymnastics and Simone Biles said, I'm not competing anymore. There was confusion. We didn't know if it was physical. Is it mental? Is it a little bit of both? We'll hear from Simone Biles coming up here in a moment. And her decision to pull out of the team gymnastics competition has really changed the tone of the 2021 Olympics. Of all the athletes in Tokyo, she was the sure thing. If you said, who's going to win gold? You know, you might have said Katie Ledecky, maybe the basketball team. It was Simone Biles. It was not a question of if she's going to win gold, but how many golds is she going to win? This was supposed to be the coronation of her as one of the great athletes of all time, American athletes of all time, not just gymnasts, not just Olympians. But that conversation has changed because instead of focusing on her remarkable physical skills, we're now talking about the mental toll the level of competition can have. She does things in gymnastics that nobody else can do, but many of us can relate to the topic she's talking about now, and that's stress, the fear of disappointing people. And we'll wait to see what happens. She's pulled out of the individual all-around competition. That'll be coming up Thursday. Now you have the other singular events coming up, and that'll be coming up over the weekend. Hopefully she's able to compete, dominate the field, but if it doesn't happen, maybe her experience in Tokyo can be productive in a completely different way, because as tough as this week seems to be for Simone Biles, it's an opportunity for her to inspire people with her honesty and her vulnerability. And you certainly had that yesterday. I don't think we have to overreact one way or another. Like 20 years ago, we would be looking at this saying, wait, you're in the Olympics and you're not mentally tough enough to compete? We're far more understanding with this now. We have far more research on this. Now, you can still be critical. If you want to say, Brett Favre played through a football game, and he was incredible on that Monday night when his father passed away. Michael Phelps was able to swim through some of his issues. I understand all of that. If you don't want to applaud her, I think we got to be careful when we're criticizing. You know, have some empathy to know in that moment, she's saying, I can't compete. And if you watch her in that competition, she's not enjoying herself. Not enjoying herself at all. And she may have cost her team if she did compete. And maybe she cost her team because she didn't compete. I mean, they're both possible here. But if you watch it in the context of when it happened, and she came out there and she's cheering. You know, the time that she seemed like she was truly herself and enjoying herself? When she's cheering on her teammates. She could have stayed in the locker room. She's on camera every performance focused on her. I give her a lot of credit. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want athletes to fight through things, but normally it's a physical thing you're fighting through. We can understand that. And I can understand both sides. Hey, we want our athletes to compete, fight through an injury. Well, mental is different. You can't see it. You're going, wait, what's wrong? Wait, you're not having a good time? Oh, boo-hoo. I understand people's reaction to that. But I think that's on the surface when you don't understand that. Anybody who's ever had these conditions, gone through these moments, had panic attacks, it's real. It's just not something that we attach to our sports heroes, our athletes, the GOATs. They fight through this. Michael Jordan had the food poison, the flu game. He fought through it. Like Tom Brady played an entire season with a knee that needed surgery. I understand all of those things. Those are physical things. Also, understand this. If you're not in the right mindset, let's say you're playing basketball. Kevin Love was going through something, some mental anxiety, panic attacks. He just walked off the floor. Now, he's not in danger playing basketball. Do you realize how dangerous gymnastics is? It is the most dangerous, statistically, high school sport in America. It is. The number of injuries. She's not herself when she's out there. I think the enormity of this, I also think an extra year, the pandemic, I think that they were trying to bubble wrap the gymnasts because of the importance of the Olympics. You have sponsors who are now saying, hey, NBC, ratings are going to be dipping if Simone Biles isn't competing. Simone Biles. There's a lot attached to it. But she did meet with the media yesterday. And she was asked about, is this physical or mental?
Was there any injury? That was one thing we wanted to know. And if you can elaborate on maybe the stress you've been feeling. We all know when you're in the spotlight, we can imagine what it's like.
Right. No injury, thankfully. And that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in.
And then she talked just about the stress of the Olympics.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun. And sometimes that's not the case.
5 years. She's 24. It's been 5 years. That buildup. And Michael Phelps brought up something last night. By the way, Michael Phelps has been wonderful on this topic. He talked about how that extra year, it's almost like, and she talked about Simone Biles prior to the Olympics. She couldn't wait for the Olympics to be over. It's rare when an athlete who gets this opportunity once every 4 years or 5 years says, I can't wait for this to be over. You want to savor the moment? Stay on that podium. You want to hear that anthem. You want to be with your teammates. She couldn't wait for the Olympics to be over. And you almost got the feeling that she felt like she had to compete in the Olympics, not that she wanted to. She had nothing left to prove. I mean, Michael Phelps had nothing left to prove. Now, you do get sponsors who are paying you, but she's also turning down that bonus money because she didn't win a gold, at least not yet. I mean, they're human. They're fallible. Katie Ledecky, she can't lose. Wait, she lost? Wait, she lost again? They're fallible. And as much as we want to trump up triumph, Brett Favre played through his father's death, Tom Brady playing on a knee that needed surgery, like, I can respect both of them. And I don't, maybe Katie Ledecky's feeling the same pressure. I have no idea. But it's easy for us, certainly if you're a grown-up and you're there on your couch and you're watching going, wait, I mean, come on, let's go. Like, Simone Biles let you down? This is about her. She's the one that has to deal with the ramifications here. You know, Naomi Osaka doesn't want to play in a Grand Slam event. Well, that's a big sacrifice. It's not like she's passing up the Indian Wells tennis tournament. She's saying, I don't feel comfortable. But Simone Biles did root on her teammates. Simone Biles did show up at the press conference and answered questions. I have great respect for that. Certainly coming back out and cheering on her teammates. And her teammates, I mean, imagine if a quarterback at halftime of the Super Bowl goes, I don't think I can do it. I got to ask my backup to come in. What if Tom Brady at the Super Bowl says, I can't go out there. Blaine Gabbert's going to have to go out there. Those women did a wonderful job in the moment where Simone Biles says, I'm not. I mean, they have to be going, wait, what's happening? Is she hurt? No, I can't do it. Okay. Jordan Childs stepped up. She's dancing. She's getting whatever crowd is there, like on your feet. Like it was a really interesting, remarkable moment for me in watching it. Do I want her out there? Yes. But you go into this competition, you're supposed to win. So the pressure of just trying to win is one thing. Now you're supposed to win. And then if you don't win, oh wow, boy, they got really close. Oh, Katie Ledecky barely won. Oh, Team USA barely won again. Like, that pressure is enormous. because it's never going to be good enough for anybody. Oh, you call yourself the GOAT. Yes, she calls herself the GOAT. And to some people, she did act like the GOAT yesterday. Because for her, she did the right thing. In our minds, some of us, oh, you can't quit. What's the message you're sending? This is different. This isn't the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, even the 90s. It's different. And you got to be fair. And I think that's where people, you can have opinions on both sides here. But at the end of the day, you got to be fair and look at both sides. And I can certainly see that. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's had some issues himself of being uncomfortable getting in a car, the losing streak, wanting to quit the sport. We thought he would be great to talk about this. I mean, imagine Jr., the week after his father dies at Daytona, he has to race the next week. He has to get in a car. He inherited that fan base, but he had to live up to that fan base. And he felt like a failure because he didn't win. He was the most overrated driver in NASCAR. So we thought Junior would be great to talk about this. Bob Costas, the best at what we do. Bob will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk a little bit more about college football. Ryan McGee of ESPN, their college football analyst, has some interesting things about this, what's going on with the SEC. Bigger's not always better. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, my source said, don't be surprised if the Big Ten and Pac-12 try to merge and do something here to salvage the Rose Bowl contract that they have, and what other teams might join the SEC. And some of these institutions of higher learning, which is what college is supposed to be, will not be interested in joining the SEC because of the academic portion of this, those schools in the ACC. And I was told, you know, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Wake Forest, some of these schools would not be interested, but some of those schools, maybe with a different commissioner in the Big Ten, they would be interested in joining the Big Ten. It feels like it's still open for business with college football, but we'll talk about that coming up. Yes, McLovin.
I still want the Nerd Conference. I think it'd be awesome. The Northwestern, Stanford, Notre Dame. Oh.
All those, like get Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, like those big conference schools that have like impossible, like you need like a 1600 SAT to get into those places.
Yeah. This program, by the way, brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has been there for the last 15 years, making you feel safe at home. Go to simplysafedan.com today. Customize your system and get a free security camera. Poll question, McLovin, what do you have for us today?
So we're trying to come up with a fair Simone Biles poll question. I'm not sure a poll question does the situation justice. In 20 years, what will Simone Biles be known for? A, her gymnastics excellence. B, her excellence plus what she went through with this Olympics, or C, will be the fact that she had to step back during this Olympics.
But I don't know what's going to happen in her life the next 20 years. I mean, is she a mental health advocate? I don't know what she aspires to do when she's all said and done. Michael Phelps is doing this. Mental health advocate. Kevin Love. Like, Michael Phelps is in a really good place right now. I remember the first time we interviewed him, first couple of times, he was not good at all. But now he has things to say. He's got charisma. He just seems like he's in a good spot. And I think we're going to find out more and more stories about this, of the toll that some of this takes on athletes. Others can process it. You know, once again, I can applaud Brett Favre for doing it. His dad just died. I'm going out there and I'm going to play. And he was incredible against the Raiders. But I can also applaud Simone Biles. You can do both. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls are welcome. We'll get to those. We'll settle on a poll question. Deshaun Watson has been cleared for training camp, but is he going to get on the field? Randall Cobb looks like he's going back to the Packers. I don't know what year this is. The United States rolled over Iran 120-66. Katie Ledecky has won a gold medal in the 1500. Man, who knows what's going to happen today considering what happened yesterday. Glad you're on board. We'll come back. talk a little college football. Bob Costas, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and you on this program. It's 15 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Played golf yesterday. Rich Eisen, Jeremy Schapp, ESPN. And I used my Level Select CBD sports cream. So my knees, my shoulder, you know, all the surgeries that I've had.
You're all lubed up?
I was incredible yesterday. I was.
You played well?
I was Colin Morikawa.
Wow.
Yes, I was incredible.
And did you let Rich and Jeremy know how great you were playing?
No.
You didn't?
Oh. They were too far behind you?
They let me know how I was playing.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And you know, I felt like I was on tour. I was playing that well. Had my favorite Callaway irons, but I had my CBD, my sports creams. So I was ready to go. I was loose. I was getting out there. I was able to swing freely, and I was killing it. Level Select CBD products, you're going to love it. It's a 10-minute walk or a 10K run. You're playing golf. You're going to work out. You're going to feel immediate relief. Use the promo code DAN40. Get 40% off your entire order today at Level Select CBD. You don't have to be a professional athlete to use it, but Carson Palmer is the one who turned me on to it a couple of years ago. LevelSelectCBD.com, promo code Dan. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Shohei Ohtani hit his 36th home run, 464-foot blast. Angels lost to the Rockies. He's going to win the MVP. Maybe he'll win it in a runaway, but playing for a suspect team here. His manager, Joe Maddon, says that Ohtani should win the American League MVP award. It's not even close. Yeah, I certainly understand that. He's doing it as a hitter and a pitcher. What if Joe Maddon says he shouldn't win it? This isn't exactly news that, unless you say, yeah. Ohtani's manager backs Ohtani to win the American League MVP award. Nothing to see here. The fact that he says it's not even close, okay. I mean, I'm fine with that. We have a problem, though, it feels like, in the last 20 years, giving an MVP to somebody who's not on a playoff-caliber team. I mean, I go back to Cal Ripken. I go back to Andre Dawson. But you can make a case Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable player to baseball this year. Yes, McLovin.
If he was a Yankee or a Dodger, how much bigger would his story be? I think it'd be McGuire Sosa, 98. I mean, I think it would be every day SportsCenter leads with him.
Probably so. In the Eastern time zone, that's important. Get on the 6 o'clock SportsCenter. Although, if you're in Los Angeles with the Dodgers, by the way, struggling here. And then, you know, Ohtani, he would be available, I think. He would be accessible. You would see him a lot. You might not hear from him as much as you would go coming up after SportsCenter, and you would show a Ohtani in batting practice. But you're right. But I don't know what's the next level of publicity other than you get to the playoffs. I mean, that's where you make a name for yourself. Or sometimes you don't make a name for yourself. We want to see you on the big stage. How do you do in the big stage, in the big moment? Mike Trout has had 3 playoff games his entire career. That's it. You think about some of these other legends of the game, we think about them on the big stage. What did you do in the playoffs? Did you get to the World Series? How many titles did you win? If it's a pitcher, certainly. But some of the great hitters of all time in what they did in the postseason and what some didn't do in the postseason. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. It goes far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Jeremy in Alabama joins us. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Todd, Fritz. How you doing, buddy? Shout out to WKXX 102.9, my home for Dan Patrick every morning here in Alabama. Last year, I went through a lot of mental health issues. I play music, and it was really hard for me to go from being able to just show up and go play at venues and play shows to sitting there in front of my cell phone live streaming. I mean, it's hard when you deal with, when you're in front of the public a lot, and you want to make people happy, you want to do all that, and I had to take a break. I had to sit down and just find ways to improve myself mentally, and that came to the expense of, you know, I found another job that because I wasn't happy. I was, you know, I started doing things for myself. I'd get up in the morning and just kind of take time to sit there by myself and just think about the things that made me feel better. And I mean, it got bad to a point, but I understand. And her walking away the way she did, I applaud her. I think that she's doing the best thing for herself mentally. And to be honest with you, I think that her doing this, the way I've understood it, gymnastics has had a tough time the past 10 years. And to see how coaches treated those young ladies and how they get treated just to make it to the Olympics.
And also, and thank you, Jeremy, and I hope you're doing better. But, you know, understand she was also part of the Larry Nassar situation. I mean, that sexual abuse that happened. You know, a lot of these gymnasts, yes.
She gave an interview before the Olympics started saying that part of the reason why she was going to retire, but part of the reason that she decided to compete in these games was because she wanted to make sure that people, that there was still a spotlight shown on that abuse scandal, because otherwise it probably would have been completely swept under the rug and not covered at all. But she wanted to make sure that people knew there was still an active elite gymnast who was abused by him.
Yeah, because there are a lot of these women that you don't know who they are. You didn't hear their stories. They didn't make millions of dollars. Simone Biles did want to compete. She did want to say you can overcome things. So it's not like you just go, oh, she can't compete. She'd gone through a few things here. And she walked away yesterday. Let's see if she comes back. Hopefully she does. It's okay. All right, we've been talking some college football with Oklahoma and Texas. It seems inevitable. You know, it's not a question of if, but when. But I don't know if you could say it was a good week for the SEC. Was it a good week for college football? And where are we headed? As I said to you yesterday, a source told me, don't be surprised if the Big Ten, Pac-12 try to do something here. Could there be a merger there to make sure they keep that Rose Bowl pact? Ryan McGee, very thoughtful writer at ESPN.com, co-host of Marty and McGee, the SEC Network and ESPN Radio. And he wrote some things about what's going on with the SEC and Oklahoma, Texas. Bigger's not better here, Ryan. Did the SEC have a good week this past week?
The SEC had a great week. I mean, listen, you just said it. I co-host the show on SEC Network. I had a great week. I mean, Paul Feinbaum had a great week. You know, a lot of people had, Greg Sankey had a great week. But the question is, and this is what I worry about just in the entirety of sports whenever there's big changes, is it good for everyone else? And what made me think of this, interestingly enough, was what Nick Saban had to say a few hours before we all found out through the Houston Chronicle for the first time about Texas and Oklahoma. And he was talking about NIL, and he was talking about the transfer portal and expanded playoff. And he said, listen, all of these things benefit Alabama. But then he started talking about Kent State, where he went to school, and Toledo, where he was a head coach. And I mean, you're a Dayton guy. And Jimbo Fisher started talking about Samford. These guys worry about how this affects everyone, not just them. But at the end of the day, yeah, great for them. They said it. The question is, 10 years from now, will this have been great for everyone?
If you got an honest answer out of Nick Saban and said, are you happy Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC? What do you think Coach Saban would say?
Nick Saban is all about, how do I get to the playoff, whether it's four teams or 12 teams or whatever. It's why every player on his team will more than likely have a shot in their arm, a vaccination by the time they get there. He can't officially say it. That's how it's going to be. Nothing's going to stand in the way of him getting to the playoff. So if this is an obstacle to get to the playoff, then he ain't happy. But if a win against one of those teams, and he clearly is not scared of anyone, if a win against one of these teams is what's going to get him to the playoff, then he's all about it. But I think initially, yeah, you're looking at the schedule and you're thinking, okay, there's a week that I'm probably not going to play Mercer, you know, or even schedule Miami in the opener. You know, this is a week when I've got one of these two. So I think in the short term, he will tell you he's happy, but he's probably already trying to do the math. Like, what does this mean for me getting to January?
All right. So what's the big picture? What's the end game here for college football? Because I look at Greg Sankey as Roger Goodell and ESPN. So those two go hand in hand, but it feels like we're headed towards the NFL model in college football, where you're going to have maybe 40 schools. You're going to compete for 16 playoff spots. You're going to have conferences. You're going to have, you know, USC plays Ohio State in week one. Mm-hmm. Ohio State plays Oklahoma in week two. Like, you're going to have, and, the, you know, the smaller schools are going to be relegated.
If you know your history, then you know that, you know, right across the street from where the NCAA headquarters used to be in Kansas City is the quaint little building where the NAIA lives. Well, they used to run everything. And then one day, the big schools decided to go do something else. And we've all talked about forever, you know, well, at what point do the Power Five or whoever the powers that be go do their own thing? Because, you know, that basketball money was still sitting over there in Indianapolis. And, you know, they're running the college football playoff by themselves. They liked the NCAA being the bad guy, even though they were on all the committees. I mean, you know, the NCAA, the asylum's run by the inmates, and it was a very – very, it was a very convenient scapegoat. Well, now the question is, what are they going to do going forward? And I think you're right. I think it's either this NFL model, which I hate, by the way. NFL is great, but college is on Saturday and the NFL is on Sunday. That's why I don't like a 12-team playoff. It just feels like the NFL playoffs. It's not different. But going forward, it's either going to be what you're talking about, or it's going to be what we've all predicted for a long time, which are 16-team super conferences. Now, whether that's a Power Five or a Power Four,
yeah,
I don't know. Roy Kramer, the man who created all of this, told me in 2011, he said, 14 is not the number. 16 is the number. He said, once you hit 16, that's the right number of teams. More than that's too many. Fewer than that's too few. That was 10 years ago. And, you know, as per usual, Roy Kramer seems to be right.
What happens with the Big Ten?
I don't. You're Mr. Big Ten, as Paul Feinbaum always tells me, right? Very quiet, right?
Yep.
And what have we learned about all of this? And what did we learn in 2011? What did we learn in 1992? The people who aren't saying anything are 100% up to something. And so, yeah, no one at the Pac-12 would have said anything about anything if they hadn't had media day just now.
Yeah.
And so everyone's being very quiet. And as you know, as Greg Sankey told us all a week ago today, the quietest person is probably the person that's up to something.
What about Notre Dame?
You know, Dan, to me, it all comes down to money. I mean, NBC has been writing a check to them for 30 years, and it's been great. The question has always been, when the money gets bigger in the conferences, and you can't ignore it. I mean, the ACC – and I was at the ACC championship game, and all those Notre Dame people were like, they're having a pretty good time to me. You know, obviously they lost to Clemson. We all predicted that, but the experience looked great. And Coach Kelly was telling me, this is great, and we're having a great time. And it was a tryout. And per the contract, they can't go anywhere until they talk to the ACC first. That's what John Swofford wrote in that amazing contract with Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, follow the money. And if they can make as much money with their, you know, Saturday afternoons, Saturday nights on NBC, they're going to stay with that. But if the money is bigger in a conference and the payout is bigger in a conference somewhere, so it's the reason Texas and Oklahoma are doing what they're doing. So wherever the checks are bigger, they'll all end up, no matter what they tell you.
We're talking to Ryan McGee, ESPN.com senior writer, co-host of Marty and McGee on SEC Network and ESPN Radio. We got Dale Jr. on coming up final hour.
My man.
And I thought he would be interesting to talk about with just that mental pressure. You know, what happened with Simone Biles? And I know it's a completely different sport, but, you know, getting in that car, you know, the pressure he had, he wasn't winning. He inherited his dad's fan base. He got in a car the following week after, you know, Senior died at Daytona. So I was just kind of curious his mindset, and you've known Junior a long time.
When I had the incredible honor of helping Dale write his book a few years ago, Racing to the Finish, he and I both learned so much about mental health. And we both agreed that whether it was the loss of his father or whether it was the loss of my mother in Monroe, North Carolina, around that same time. We both wished that we had known more about mental health when we experienced those things as kids. And no, his perspective on this is amazing. And it's not just a physical injury, which is what he suffered time and time and time again, and ultimately pushed him out of the race car. But it was what you're talking about. And what we both learned, you know, through his doctor, and he'll tell you all about Mickey, is that, you know, stress and mental health is the greatest contributing factor to not being able to heal physical health. And if you go back, it's funny, you go back now and listen to what Simone Biles was saying. That's what she was saying. You know, are you putting yourself in a position to injure yourself physically, perhaps forever, because you weren't in the right mental mindset? And ultimately, you know, that's the decision that Dellert Jr. had to make about his career. So, yeah, I'll be watching and listening, because and then I'm going to call him after and talk to him about it.
Hey, I hope you're doing well. And
I'm good.
Yeah. Tell Marty.
Hey, speaking of mental health, you remember that time in the mid 90s on SportsCenter? And this PA turned in a shot sheet and the handwriting was so atrocious that it created like a week of firestorm controversy on campus. Remember that on SportsCenter?
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you taught me a great lesson about attitude that week. And I have remembered it ever since. And hopefully my mental attitude has been better.
What was my advice?
When I come to you and tell you that your handwriting is atrocious, you probably should listen and not be so defensive. But in my defense, I was 23 years old. I think 6 months earlier, I was sitting in Western Civ class. So. But yeah, I go to Keith. I'm driving Keith to work, and I go, man, Dan's really mad at me. He goes, yes, you should listen to what he says. And I did. So thank you for that. It worked out.
Well, you know, college grad, you thought you knew everything at ESPN.
I did. No, and I have a 16-year-old daughter now, so she knows everything. And I apply my Dan Patrick lesson to my life here at the house all the time.
So wait a minute. You so that. You had to pick up Keith from his house?
I drove him to work 2 or 3 days a week. Yeah. My first day as a PA, I walk into the newsroom. I've been watching you guys all throughout college. I walk in the newsroom and Keith is putting flyers in the mailboxes because the Southington Cab Company has increased its rates. And he's right. So he's looking for a ride to work. And I'd just come from Al Jaffe's office. I still have my tie on. And I go, are you serious? And he said, yeah. I said, what time do I pick you up tomorrow? So I drove Keith to work for the whole 2 years I was up there. Yeah. I'd be like, man, Dan's mad. Should I be worried? He goes, yes, you should be worried. You should talk to Dan and get this straightened out. I said, okay. Thank you, Keith.
You could write a book about that.
Yeah. Y'all wrote a book.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe Marty and I'll write a book one day. I'll write a chapter about driving Keith to work and the time Dan Patrick had a seminar to talk about my handwriting.
But it did make us better at SportsCenter because of your handwriting and your shot sheet. Because
that's it.
Yeah. Like, we were doing live highlights. It's chaos. When I tell people we didn't even get to see what you were writing, I'd get it on the air live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I'd have to kind of figure out your hieroglyphics.
No, I knew it. So I'm literally running down the hallway and you run 20 steps, put the paper on the wall and write a shot. Run 20 steps. I run in there and slide it in there. And I knew. I literally slid it in there like this. Like this. He can't read Gary Trent's name. What am I doing here? And thankfully you were good at it. So thank you for that. Yeah. And then I would take Keith to the dry cleaner and the TCBY.
Great to talk to you, Ryan. Thank you, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. ESPN.com senior writer, co-host of Marty and McGee on SEC Network, ESPN Radio. It was a big deal at the time because, I mean, this is my livelihood. It's live TV. And what happens is, you know, so he's a production assistant and he's been there for 6 months, maybe. And he comes in and you have to sit down, watch a game. And then you write, let's say, 40 seconds to recap Yankees Mariners. And it could be just a game in July. Well, he's got 40 seconds that they give you. All right. Got an establisher. Hey, Yankee Stadium. Maybe it's a goofy shot. Then you have a home run, double play, Jeter does something great, and the Yankees win. Well, he's got to do that right after the game, get the highlights edited, and then race over to SportsCenter at 11 o'clock, and we didn't even see the highlights. So I have to trust everything he would write down. and these production assistants. He would come in. There were times when I'd be on camera and I'd reach my arm out and grab the shot sheet and then say, and Yankees and Mariners from Yankee Stadium, here are the highlights. And then I'd grab the paper. Sometimes I'd have to turn it the other way because it was not even right side up. And I'm just reading what he's got there. I don't know how long the highlights are going to be as far as how loose they are, how tight they are. Information. I don't even know Ryan McGee at the time, I don't think, other than, hey, what's your name? Ryan. Hey, Ryan. How about some better handwriting? We would do that every single night. 70% of the highlights we'd watch, we didn't get the chance to see them because the games were ending. Yeah, Seton.
Winning is in the details, Dan.
Thank you, Seton.
Winning is in the details.
Yep, and that's why we haven't won a sports Emmy.
Not detail-oriented around here. We have bad handwriting in this room.
Let's take a break. Play of the day up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Swing and the bouncer over the mound hits softly. Out near second base, it's picked up by Muncy. Throws the first for the out. Now they've got the rundown. The throw to third base is way over the head. Posey had come around third, and Bellinger threw to third, and he sailed it 40 feet over the head of the third baseman. Posey comes in to score.
One of the great voices in baseball history, John Miller. That's KNBR, Giants Radio Network. Giants have beaten the Dodgers now three in a row, rallying from a deficit in all three. Now hold a three-game lead over L.A. in the National League West. You know, I'm always curious with over-unders start of the season, and I would have sworn I would have taken the under with the Giants. I would have been, there's no way they're going to reach that victory total. Same with the Red Sox. And look at both of those teams. Certainly the Giants. Big surprise. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Bob Costas will join us coming up next hour, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the final hour of the program. I want to say thank you to our radio affiliates, numbering nearly 400, and once again, nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. And I want to thank Philadelphia, WDAS, 105.5 FM in Mobile, 1510 AM in Midland. Thank you for your support throughout all the years doing this. McLovin, did we settle on a poll question? Oh, Randall Cobb is now a Green Bay Packer. Brought him in. You know, I wonder, when you're younger, you fill out a wish list for Santa Claus. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has a Santa Claus wish list where he goes, I would like one of those and one of those, and I'd like a Jake Kumerow and a Randall Cobb? I'm going to guess he probably does. And if you're the Packers, how much is enough? How much is too much? How much is not enough? Is this going to calm everything down? Or is Rodgers just saying, hey, I'm going to play the Packers for 1 year. I'm going to get what I want, and then I'm out of here. Hey, Devontae Adams is going to get his new contract. Randall Cobb's going to come back. I'd reach out to Jake Kumerow. I think he's on the practice squad with the Buffalo Bills. Remember, that was the guy that Rodgers famously praised, and then the next day the Packers cut him. I'd bring him in, too. Just say, all right, Aaron, here you go. We got you everything that you wanted here. Happy? Yeah, Paul.
Imagine you're the GM of the Buffalo Bills. You get a phone call. And, you know, we got to have a big trade talk about your practice squad player, Jake Kumerow. Excuse me? You have a big demand for this guy?
We're willing to give you three first-round picks for Jake Kumerow. We've got to have him. Please. Please. But I wonder if Rodgers has just a wish list there. And I'm going to guess he does. I would, if I'm him. Phil in New York joins us. Hi, Phil. What's on your mind today?
Dan, I wanted to say thank you to you, as well as Michael Phelps, Kevin Love, Ryan Reynolds, Simone Biles, for not just talking about depression and anxiety, but sharing your stories about it as well. Help helps. And simply being comfortable, being able to talk about it, is a huge help. I've battled depression and anxiety since my teens, and I finally feel like it's okay to talk about these things without feeling shame, without feeling like I'm less a person. I've always felt like it's better to hide it than face the stigma society places on people who struggle with poor mental health. The courage Simone showed yesterday in taking care of herself was truly awe-inspiring, and believe it or not, made me feel proud to be myself.
Awesome. Phil, thank you. Yeah, as my wife said, you may be uncomfortable talking about it, but you may make others feel comfortable talking about it. And, you know, I present myself when I do this show. Made that point when we started this, when I left ESPN. I was just going to do it how I wanted to do it, with the people I wanted to do it with. There were going to be flaws, warts. It wasn't going to be pretty sometimes, but it was going to be real. It was going to be us. And that's always been my goal every single day. And I don't think you can pick and choose, like, hey, I'm going to talk about that. No, I don't want to talk about that. And I remember talking to my wife, and she said, you may not want to do it. You may feel uncomfortable. Because I was brought up in a sports world at CNN where the product was the most important part. You made sure you reported on who you were reporting on. It wasn't about you. And then I got to ESPN, and then that changed. And it was a little bit more about us on SportsCenter. And then when we started this, I just thought, I'm going to share my opinions, my thoughts, my feelings. If it's my family, in protecting them as best I can, but having fun with them. But also, whatever feelings you have. Look, I mentioned yesterday, I was scared to death to host the Super Bowl. I was scared to death to host the Olympics. And then you look back and go, why? But you get in your own head. And I don't know. I'm going to ask Bob Costas. I don't know if he ever had doubts. But I think in this business, it creates doubts. That are you good enough? Are you too old now? Are you not relevant now? You don't have hot takes now. Like, these are all things that factor in where you go, you got a great life, great family, which I do. But there are times when you start to get really, really low. You get down. And then you don't know, and then you're down, and you're swimming. And then you go, how the hell did I get here? So that's why when I say you can applaud Brett Favre for what he's done and fought through that night, you know, with the Raiders, and his dad died. And yes, but I can also applaud Simone Biles. You can do both. And yes, talk to somebody, anybody. But make sure you do, because the more you try to suppress it, the worse it gets, and it will eventually come out. And that's for sure. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. More phone calls coming up. We have our poll question, right, McLovin?
We do. I put it up, and the question is, what are we undercovering this week because of everything going on? And I'll give you the options after the break.
Also, go to danpatrick.com and try Penny's Bang Biscuits. I love what we've done with this. It's a great product. 20% of all Bang Biscuit dog sales will be going to hand-picked partners in the pet industry, including the rescue places where we got Penny and my dog winning. 1 hour in the books. Two more to go. Glad you're part of the program. Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out first hour. Rock on with rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Founded by automotive engineers in 1999. It's a family business. And they started out with two goals in mind. To give you direct access to all that information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, make the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices. Sounds simple, right? Well, they did it. And then some. At rockauto.com, choose the part, brands, prices, features you want anytime, 24/7. Rockauto.com has a lot of the parts you've probably been told those are no longer available, or maybe dealer only. Parts delivered right to your home or office. Why waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines? Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. You'll see the How Did You Hear About Us box on the website. Just write me in there. Well, write Dan Patrick, not M-E. So they know that we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com.